If you were up there, would you want him with you?
I don't know.
I feel the need for speed.
Welcome back to the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. This is part two of the Top Gun review episode. I just would like to thank everyone who participated. Of course, co-host Ed Daly and special guests Jason Stewart and Travis Rogers. It was a fantastic time. It was very enjoyable. And you're on to the part where we start to get a little bit drunk. So part two may be even better than part one. So please enjoy part two of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast Top Gun review episode. Thanks. Not a wings tonight. She got you jumping off the deck, shoving in the overdrive. So then they move on. They go. They after the jester attack.
Yeehaw, Matt, dead.
He's prefaced, likes to buzz the tower.
Mm-hmm.
He's buzzed many, many towers, which is seems like a weird thing. Like, the tower is the safety. They tell you, hey,
they're only looking out for you.
Yeah, they go.
They're on your side.
No, there's another plane over there. So here, you should wait, you know, do a circle around at this altitude and then come in and land because there's all these other planes are coming in. And they call up and they're like, hey, we want to just swing by the tower. And the tower's like, oh, no, you can't do that. And they're like, oh, we'll just do it anyway. Like, what is that?
Bad boy.
Mustang, this is Maverick requesting flyby.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
Yes.
He buzzed the tower.
He's an actual Maverick. So this
leads to the gayest line in the entire movie.
Oh,
I want some butts.
Yes. I want somebody's butts.
Yeah.
They get dressed down. Viper.
Well,
again, Viper, a snake.
It is a snake.
Yes.
One of the most dangerous snakes.
Cylindrical, long,
slithering,
dark,
lubricated.
Yes. Viper calls Mav in on the carpet, but again, doesn't really like yell at him that badly. He's just like, what was that bullshit? If you're going to be here, you got to do the rules.
His exact quote to begin the meeting was, I guess that'll do it for the flybys.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
And as if those would ever be allowed.
Right.
I feel like that's worthy of a court martial.
Yeah,
like if you did that thing, a lot of people's lives at risk.
It seems like you would just get sent home. Like, again,
all right, we got to get Maverick out. He keeps buzzing the tower.
$30 million aircraft that he's driving like it's his motorcycle. And so they get dressed down, and then it looks like Goose and Mav sort of have like a duplex or.
Oh, is that where he visits him late at night?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, they kind of live together.
Guys, we can't skip over Tom Skerritt and Ironside's exchange.
Oh.
So,
didn't he?
Again, yeah,
would you want him in battle?
Right. Mm. The whole thing is,
I think the whole
exchange with Skerritt and Maverick was, and it's a theme that I wish they would push harder on and throughout the movie was, that's some of the best flying I've ever seen. You are very talented.
Right up until the
but it was reckless. I mean, that theme, it's just not stated enough.
It's right up until the point you got killed.
Yeah. Yes. So, and then he once Maverick leaves, he asks Ironsides, would you want him up there with you? And Ironsides, I think, really didn't deliver this line right. I wish Tony Scott would have pressed him on a couple more takes.
Yeah.
The line was
professional actor Jason Stewart.
The line was I don't know. I just don't know. Like, and if I'm Ironsides, I pause a little bit. This is how I would have done it. If Travis, you're Tom Skerritt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deliver the line to me. If you were up there, would you want him with you?
This is not going
to
go well.
If you were up there, would you want him with you?
I don't know. I just don't know. So this is how, So this is how the line, this is how the line was delivered in the movie. Ask me that again.
If you were up there, would you want? Would you want with you?
I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, you'd think that you'd think they'd get another a couple of other takes there, right?
You think
you got your one take? I'm out of here.
Professional.
Frank Sinatra doesn't do second shots.
That's right.
So, so Goose comes in and he's like, "Hey, Matt, we gotta talk, man." He's like, "I'm just, hey, I'm just a Rio. Like, I'm in the Navy."
It's like he's in the post office. Yes. I would imagine that even the Rio has some investment in him. Yes. He's a valuable piece. It's right. Not like, "Hey, look, Goose. Yeah. You know what? We're going to just have you make hash in the in the galley.
Yes.
You're done."
He's like, I just want to graduate. Like, you're kind of fucking it up for me. Like, let's just get shot down. Like, don't sweat it, you know?" And of course, Mav can't sleep. He's sweaty. He's sweaty at this point, by the way.
He's frustrated. And he's studying something.
Well, Brian, he's got a cup of coffee.
He's frustrated. He's got a lot of things that just he wants to do, but it's not okay to do. Yeah. Yet he knows that the other people want to do it too, but it's against the rules.
He's got feelings for Ice.
Right.
And he doesn't want to share them with Goose. And
Goose wouldn't understand.
And at this point, and this is a real foreshadowing moment. He goes, "Goose, you're the only family I got." Meanwhile, he's probably only been paired up with them for 9 months. Like, they're not, they don't know each other. They're just in the service together.
Right.
Like, they just they go
don't,
out.
Yeah, they don't get to choose who they're with.
No.
Like, it's whoever's assigned to them.
But the Indian Ocean is a lonely place,
at
guys.
At the end of the movie, he gets paired up with Merlin, who's just been chilling on the aircraft carrier the whole time.
Right. So
where Cougar turned in his wings.
Yeah, whoever sits in the back obviously isn't that important.
Can we cut to the chase? And Jason just touched on it. The job of the Rio is he's over there. He's over there.
No.
Hey, he's coming. No, now he's behind us.
No, you've left out a very important part. We're out of gas.
We're out of gas, hey, guys.
I feel like that would be an instrument on the pilot's panel.
Yeah, wouldn't you think the pilot would have that, Ed Daly?
I was going to say, I don't know these aircrafts. But it seems like a weird place to put the fuel gauge in the back.
In the back, yeah. Wouldn't you think that the pilot would be the one that would need to know? Like, when you're driving a car, you don't go to the passenger or the kid in the back and go, "Hey, how are we doing on gas?"
Well, can we talk about this? What was the one thing we went over multiple times before we started this?
Is this a quiz?
No.
I don't know.
But redundancies, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Redundancies. Yeah. Yes. So an aircraft has multiple redundancies. Course, therefore, you have a fuel gauge in the back because, look, we're talking about soldiers at the end of the day.
Fly by
sometimes
wire.
They get killed, and therefore your Rio gets killed in the back by one of those MiGs.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to be, "Hey, Goose, what would it be like at a quarter?" Yeah, and he's like, "No, you're like, well,
yeah, you got both.
Guess I just got to guess."
Yeah, that's a good point.
Redundancies.
Cougar seemed to need a lot of information from Merlin. Okay. So the Goose and Mav have a heart to heart, and then it doesn't matter because Mav realizes that Charlie wants sex. Mav is hanging out. He's like studying. Slider is apparently sitting in the.
It's just eavesdropping.
Yeah, just listening. And Charlie stops by, and she's writing something in red pen while she talks. And she's like, "I don't date flyboys." But meanwhile, she's writing down the coordinates to her pussy.
Is that what that was?
Yes. And she's like, "Hey, come by my house at 5:30." She lives by the beach.
She wants to hear about the MiG.
She lives directly. She lives on the beach, like in La Jolla. Meanwhile, she's a contractor for Lockheed Martin.
Civilian.
Bucking for a promotion in Washington, D.C.
Big dough in those defense contractors, though.
Somebody's bucking for a promotion.
It's probably not Hanrahan.
She doesn't. This is 1986. She's not even making six figures.
That's Reagan. And he's getting it rolling.
And she's commuting from Miramar to La Jolla? That's a that's a long drive. That's a mid free. That's like the 52.
I'm getting the sense that you don't understand San Diego geography.
I understand it better than the people that made this movie. Clearly, she lives by the beach.
Could live in La Jolla or Escondido, you're going to live in La Jolla,
of course. Right, but that's not near Miramar.
Well, but if you're on a contractor dime,
this might make more sense because.
Are you going to get to the sick burn at the end of the scene?
Oh, so So she's like, hey, here's my address. She keeps it low, though. By the way, this is pre-cell phone. You couldn't text each other. She just writes down 530 my place and the address and drops it. How do we know that Mav doesn't have, like, church that night? Or he's got
– Hang on. If you're offering up the greatest gift of all.
He volunteers. Ed knows. He might have something to do. He might have a class. Who knows?
There's never something else to do.
That's true. That's a great point. That's a great point. Pussy always is the winner.
So except in this movie.
He goes to bounce, and Slider sitting right in front of him, and Slider and Mav have one of the great interactions in the history of film.
Slider has a toy plane.
Yeah.
And he
totally looks, religious.
That looks and like he, a bit like a dick.
And he mimics a descending crashing plane.
Yeah.
And what does he say?
Well, Mav leans in real close and he gives him one of the all time great burns where he says, Slider, you stink. And
that's called
walks
risk.
Away, and Slider is so bummed out.
That was the ultimate dig on him.
So, and it's
my 8-year-old son high fived him after that. One. Yeah, that's where that burn should be left.
And it's like, well, yeah, like maybe Slider had just done a lot of push ups. Maybe he'd been warming up for the volleyball game that's about to happen. Slider has a lot of deals. Like I wouldn't be like, yeah, I stink. What?
I go in a different direction.
Oh, interesting.
That community,
which is what the flyboy community,
the naval aviators in this movie, struck me as a fastidious group.
Oh yeah.
Whereas somebody that was malodorous would be less desirable. And there, see again, you got to look at it from the larger point of view. Slider is worried about having his pilot poached by Maverick. Mm-hmm. Therefore, any insult to his personal grooming is taken not just as an personal insult, but as an attack on his relationship with his pilot. Yeah. Therefore, it's doubly offensive. Yeah. So that's why it was delivered with such malice.
It hurts.
Yes.
It especially hurts.
Hey guys, I have a question for you. So if you get a number and a time, or you get the perfect invitation for sex, what's your move? Is it to like take a shower, get ready, or is it to go play gay volleyball?
Yes.
I gotta prep for this big night.
Great point, because then we get to a place in the movie that is the most exceptionally gay point.
Crashed and burned, huh, Mav? Slider. You stink.
Mav has been invited on a date. And for some reason, he thinks, you know what? I'd rather go out and play some volleyball with the guys in my blue jeans. Also, everyone's got their hands taped up.
Well, chafing.
But, I mean, just play some volleyball. Like, you know,
a lot of ski polling going on in that community.
I've played some volleyball.
Like, the yoke is very, very rough.
I've never.
It's very abrasive.
I've never seen anybody that need to tape their wrists for a volleyball game. But they get out there, they play some volleyball, playing with the boys is playing. Three of the four guys are wearing blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Slider is very greased.
This is the scene that
why does none of the sand stick to him?
No, it's a little bit does, but this guy Slider is really, really exposes himself as the most. Yeah, he's flexing. He's wet. Mm-hmm. He's greased. He's like looking at. And also,
he's dreamy.
Also, there's an audience.
Yeah, who shows up to watch this?
Like, hey, we're gonna go play volleyball. You want to come watch?
Sundown comes to watch in just Hollywood.
Like,
what?
Yeah. Just like straggling people walking by. Like, wait a minute, there are flyboys playing volleyball. Very Let me check this out.
Very, very weird. What, guys? What are your thoughts on the volleyball game?
Well, I mean, we could spend an hour on this scene alone.
Let's not.
So I'm 14 years old, and I'm watching this movie, and it's like, this movie kicks ass. There's a lot of flying. There's a lot of posturing. There's a hot chick. And then this Kenny Loggins song starts, and we start playing a volleyball game. I remember at 14 years old thinking, what is going on here exactly? We have sweaty men that are flexing. And then we have Tom Cruise, who is 5'3", max, spiking a ball, which tells me that there was a trampoline underneath the net, or the net was like 5'10", right?
Wearing stilts.
He's the one who's set up for the big spike, and he cashes in. But I remember thinking at the time when I was 14, I'm like, I'm confused. Like, I didn't know at that point what homoeroticism was. I didn't know what the gay community was all about. It wasn't until years later that I figured this scene was made for women and gay men, and I just didn't know what was going on. Why are we playing volleyball? Why aren't we back on a plane? Why aren't we talking shit to one another?
Why did Goose cut his sleeves off?
Yeah,
I mean, good question.
Goose is very much inferior to these alpha males, right? In many ways.
And I just remember shirt.
I just remember being confused, and then Mav wants to walk away prematurely.
Well,
they won. Well, it was 1-1.
We got these guys.
This may speak to my personality. This may just kind of be my deal. And part of it is the age that I was at, and part of it is just the fact that when it came to the relationships between men and women at this point, because as Brian, you pointed out, this was not something that was, you know, he had an invitation to go have sex with a woman, which you would think you would speed over to go do.
I'd go take a shower.
He chose not to. And as I'm watching this scene,
you want to wash your dick, right?
I was confused by the scoring system. It didn't make sense to me as an athlete. I'm going, well, that score doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I was very, it speaks to the time.
Did you say as an athlete?
Yes.
Well, you're a pitcher.
I like to know what the score is on events. Right. And that scoring sequence was not definitive. I need to know who's winning the game. And clearly, a team of Slider and Iceman would never lose to a shirted goose and a 5'2 Maverick. It offended me as a heterosexual, but rather as an athlete. It bothered me a great deal. It still does.
It appeared that Goose and Mav had knotted the thing up. People that understand sports know that volleyball is a 3-set game.
Yes.
So, and Mav's like, I'm out of here. I got to get on my ninja. Also, puts on his fleece jacket.
Does what we all do when we sweat a lot. You put on a leather jacket.
With a wool collar. Yeah.
Also, no helmet law at that point.
Right.
Right? Like, this is, he doesn't wear a helmet when he rides his bike. And we've determined that from Miramar to the ocean where Charlie, codenamed Charlie, you don't have to salute her, lives, is at least 30 miles. It's quite a distance. Yeah. Like, put a helmet on. But Travis makes a good point. These guys were probably knotted up in a 1-1, 1-1 game.
He's out.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It was, and Mav just bounced, which is very, very weird. But again, Slider, Ice, super gay. Like, everything about that scene. and people make a big deal of it today. We didn't realize in the 80s how gay that was. And now you watch it and you're like, oh my God, I'm like, watching actual gay porn.
Think about this. Why make a scene where there's a lot of slow motion of glistening, flexing men? Why do that? And I'm sure there's been something written about this. I heard something weird where they did that afterwards because there wasn't enough action or sex scenes or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking back, interesting. It was just so overt.
Did your inside Hollywood contacts tell you that?
No, Jason? I read. You know, I always do a lot of preparation for podcasts. But
you haven't brought any of it with you.
We're overlooking the most important thing.
What is it?
Rick Rossovich, Slider. Yes,
Slider, super gay.
Was a football player at SC who would never lose a volleyball game to those two guys. We're overlooking. There's a fatal flaw in the plot.
Rick Rossovich played ball at SC.
He did.
Wide receiver.
He was also in the movie Roxanne.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And he was on ER, too.
He was on ER. But they would never lose to a volleyball game involving a beta male and a smaller waifish man.
I think they
would never lose to them. I never liked that.
What was left on the cutting room floor, just like the bar scene, they brought Sundown in to be Goose's partner, and Sundown was woefully overmatched.
Like the scene in Airplane.
Yeah, I mean, the sun and the beach and volleyball, it woefully overmatched. Yes. Horrible partner.
Insanely racist. That is something you do. Like if you're playing a little 2-on-2 hoop at the park, I played a little ball with Travis one time, and he is not a very good basketball partner.
Because that's not true at all.
He's the biggest guy on the court, but he won't go stand in the middle.
Because I got a touch. I can rain threes.
He's one of those guys that hangs out on the perimeter.
Yeah, no, I never go below either 3-point line.
Ed, Travis is massive. He's a big dude. He's not little. And you just go, hey, just go right there. Go stand right there, and I'll throw it to you. And he's like, oh, no. I want to shoot from out here. He exclusively shoots 3-pointers when he's a massive human being, and he can just stand in the middle and make layups. Okay.
Well, Travis has a great story about his high school days.
Yeah, he played against Stacey Ogman.
Yeah.
He D'd him up.
Yeah. Well,
Plastic Man?
Yep. Yeah.
And his coach had some amazing advice once.
What was it?
It was Travis, and then
the story.
Hold on a sec.
Whoa! Did you have a Coldplay song? Is a Coldplay song your ringtone, Jason?
But Arcadia at the time was largely an Asian community at that point anyway.
Still
so,
is.
So it was no, Travis it's a, and a it's bunch of Asian guys.
Especially Asian
now.
Yeah.
And I just love the advice the coach gave once when they played one of these heavyweights from out of town.
John Muir High School.
Yeah.
John Muir was John in Pasadena. It's in our league, and we play him every year. And so Jacques Vaughn was the point guard.
Yeah. Wow. He went to Kansas.
Stacey Ogman was the power forward.
Both those guys are on the same team.
There was a guy named Wayne Womack who was the starting center on the Arizona team that went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
I don't know.
I was the tallest guy on our basketball team, and I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
Not a great matchup for Stacey Ogman.
Were you 6'3" at 17 years old?
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so our coach was, just head fake him.
Head fake him.
It was Trav. Just head fake him. I'm like, he's 6'9", and he's a much better athlete than me.
A couple all defensive player of the year awards.
And just head fake him. Head fake him.
Trav. Do you think you were gonna head fake him? Like,
put him on the deck.
Put him on the deck.
Yeah. Go to the hoop
and like do that thing where you like get him with your elbow and like throw him behind you.
If you think just head fake him.
If you think about it, to bring us back to our subject, head fake him is just as simple and unrealistic as put on the brakes and they'll fly right
back. Yes. To bring it back. Okay. Yeah. To get back to the movie. Mav has to bounce. he's at the volleyball game. Shit is popping off. It's 1-1. They're gonna go to a third set finale. There's fans there, but he's like, I'm out of here. He's got to put on his jacket. Yeah. It's 98 degrees because they're in inland. He's
just sweating.
They're in inland San Diego where it's super hot. He bounces on his bike to cool off a little bit to go to dinner at Charlie's house.
Mm-hmm.
They meet up. There's wine.
He shows up and she's not even answering the door, right?
Oh, yeah. Because he's late.
Yeah, sorry I'm late, got tied up in a gay orgy, but I'm here now. Yes. We good?
And I mean,
mind if I take a shower at your place?
That's incredibly aggressive.
That's so arrogant.
It's so weird. Like, when you have someone over, and you're like, oh, this person's going to spend the night. You know, we all have a house guest occasionally. Jason Stewart has many from the Tinder
house guests
website. What you do is you set out some special towels for the person spending the night. You want to make sure that they have what they need. And you don't just walk into someone's home and go, hey, I'm going to take a fucking shower.
Balls. It takes balls.
It's very, very ballsy.
Again, and no heterosexual male would pull that maneuver.
And then the end game, hey, do you mind if I take a shower and then put my dirty clothes back on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, I felt like he had an overnight bag.
Yes. Very, very
sweaty clothes.
Yes, very weird. Well, I mean, he was wearing the jeans in the sand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't.
Well, I do endorse wearing jeans over and over again. I'm not opposed to
not in the sand, though, Ed. That's a different game.
But that white T-shirt. Whether or not he was wearing it during the game, he was going to be covered in sweat.
He sweated up on his bike for sure. So they have a dinner and they have a bit of wine and then Charlie, who for some reason has put boots on at her own home, is like relaxing in her back patio on a like a little couch thing, and she's basically in the position, and
she's giving the vibe.
Yeah, Jason Stewart, a guy who spends a lot of time on Tinder, would know this. She's letting people know, I'm due to be slayed. Like, here I am. Like, I'm giving you the motion. Like, I'm laying down. Mm-hmm. Like, look at me.
She's drinking wine. She's drinking wine and laying down, and she's putting on music that she likes to listen to.
Yeah, and yeah,
Berlin.
No, she's put on.
No,
she put on Otis Redding.
Dock of the Bay.
Great song, right. But she put it on because she wanted to hear it, and that prompts Maverick into like a 5-minute soliloquy. Yeah.
Okay, so
starts talking about his dead parents.
Shut up.
In my research. I found that
you researched
Dock of the Bay came out in 69 and Cruise supposedly at some point it was revealed that Duke Mitchell went down in 67.
Yeah.
So scene was disingenuous. There's no way his parents could have been listening to Dock of the Bay.
His old man went down in 65.
Whatever, 65 and the song came out in 67 or 69.
But it was his mom who made him for some reason called him down to keep putting on the song.
That's right. Yeah. Play that again, honey.
Yeah. And he would get so sick of it. And then, what's he do? He's like, hey, I'm going to go take that shower. And we all think,
it's in her place.
He's going to bounce into her shower and finally take that shower.
Just roll out in a towel and be like, all right, let's go.
Because Charlie's ready to fuck. Like, she's feeling it. She's into it. And all of a sudden, we hear his ninja fire, wah, 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 wah. And pew, he's back to Miramar. I mean, 45 minutes later, because it's quite a distance from where he was.
So at this point, the director and the writers think that we're still on the fence. Is she into him for his great looks and body, or does she just really need to know about the MIG? Because she keeps saying,
"Great point, Jason." That's an excellent point.
It's about the MIG.
She says, "Yeah, it's about the MIG."
I need info on that. What happened?
Yeah, top secret. Because she's working for Rockwell, and she needs to know what's up.
And she identifies that she's up for this big promotion. Yeah. If she has the information about the MiG, maybe she could use that and leverage that with her new job.
That is an interesting point, Jason. So, yeah. He talks about his dead parents, and then he runs into her and immediately afterward in the elevator.
He leaves her when she's so ready for sex.
Oh, yeah. She's Randy.
Her pussy was actually
She's
wet.
Like, yeah. I gave the most feminine vibe. Let me go ahead and dress like a man in the elevator.
Very weird. She's basically wearing his flyboy jacket and a cap.
And a cap.
Which is not, like, she's at work.
Hey, if nothing's biting, you got to try a different bait.
Yeah.
And how about the fact that he gets in the elevator at a professional establishment with nothing on but a towel? Like, who goes around topless at work?
That is very, very
He gets in the same elevator with
weird.
Her.
Yeah.
Right, and there's a random guy in uniform who goes on the elevator too. Like,
he's the only one who's dressed the way you're supposed to be dressed. By the way.
And she's like, "You look like you could use another shower." Very, very odd.
By the way, I really think that she was saying you look like you'd use a shower. I think she was basically telling him, "I'm a squirter."
Wow.
Jason.
Wow. What? What's wrong, guys?
Yes.
Wow. Wait, Travis is offended right now. Why?
Jason Stewart always takes it to...
Ed, what do you think about that?
just going to let that one sit out there.
You know, I was having a nice time right up until then.
Jason Stewart, extremely dirty. So they go in the elevator, and then there's a weird... motorcycle. For some reason, whatever Charlie is doing, she's getting rich doing, because
she works for a defense contractor. Brian, you're not understanding how much money flows through those people.
She has
printing money.
Exactly.
She has a bathtub Porsche, which is like a roadster,
like Dylan McKay.
Yes, which is even better then. Is like, those things are highly collectible now. But back then, sure, still, like, I don't know, $30,000.
Yeah,
like, it's a highly, and he bounces on his bike. She chases him somewhere. It was an awkward situation. But what did it lead to, Daily? Have you dropped your headphones again?
No, I was trying to read up on another part of the movie. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It led to a sexual encounter.
Liaison.
Liaison. Oh, yeah. Well, sexual. Yeah. After she dresses like a man, he's all hot and bob.
Well, it worked.
But the best part is, I was imagining he whispers to her like, "Hey, I know you're starting to strip down. Would you mind putting on a fighter pilot helmet?"
Yeah. Could you try to look more like my boy Ice?
Well, I feel like Slider felt like more his type, because I have a feeling he likes to be
dominated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Slider clearly was the most dominating of the deal. So yeah.
Rick Ross cop.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I looked him up. Rick Rossovich.
Yeah.
He had a power turn back-to-back-to-back as guest stars in Fantasy Island, BJ and the Bear, and Eight Is Enough.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Really? That's Holy Trinity.
It really is. He was Boris Smolensk in Fantasy Island.
Old.
Yeah. He was in BJ and the Bear as football player, and then he was in Eight Is Enough as Fred.
Interesting.
Yes.
BJ and the Bear.
But the sex scene is great, because there is somebody who's into women and somebody who's into men.
And, well, maybe this is circling back to Animal Night, BJ and the Bear.
Did you guys ever see that one episode of Fantasy Island where the couple is all kind of on the rocks, wasn't really doing well with the relationship. And then by the end of the, am I thinking Love Boat?
No, that's Love Boat.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, that never happened on Fantasy Island. Go ahead, proceed.
What about Jason? Did you ever watch? Did you ever see that one episode of Three's Company?
It was a misunderstanding.
It was a misunderstanding.
What about the Gilligan's Island where they're about to get off and Gilligan fucked it up?
Yeah. So on Gilligan's Island, the professor knew how to make a radio. The professor knew how to make a radio out of coconuts, but he didn't know how to fix the boat.
Do you remember that? Did you guys see the preview for that one Kevin Hart movie? A little overconfident and like talks real loud, and then the bigger guy is kind of perturbed by it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have dinner and hold on.
Take my breath.
Yes. They have sex, and Jason Stewart. The rest of us are in relationships. You are a guy that's out on Tinder.
The prowl.
Having a lot of actual sex. there's a lot of neck licking.
There was too much licking.
They just lick the fuck out of each other's necks. And I don't know if this was 1986, but I've never known that to be like a sexual.
Well, I mean, it all kind of hit home with me. I remember.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. I remember in 84, I got my first like glimpse of how you're supposed to kiss a woman in Purple Rain, but in the late Prince, of course. Them just sticking each other's tongues down each other's throat in that silhouette shot in the bed. And flash forward to Top Gun, you have the exact same kind of thing where Cruise is really digging in with his tongue. The whole neck thing is one thing, but I remember walking away from that movie as a 14-year-old thinking, I need to get the cassette, I need to play this song, and I need to stick my tongue down the throat of a woman.
Yeah. And I feel like Cruise read the script and he's like, shit, I gotta like pull off a scene where I have to have sex. And he's like, how do heterosexual people have sex? And then he couldn't find anything. He turned on National Geographic and he's like, all right, here's iguanas having sex. So I'll just go with that.
That's a great point.
And that's what I was getting to. It's funny you bring that up because I remember thinking, this is the blueprint for how I'm supposed to make out with women. And then the irony of the fact that that scene was shared by two people that had no interest in the opposite sex. Both of them had zero interest in the opposite sex.
It's shocking. It is actually shocking. So then we get back into it. Maverick has to go back to school. Like
is Goose dead yet?
No.
Come on, Travis. No. Travis, you just spoiled it for all the people who haven't seen it yet.
Mav gets up in the air. We learn that Iceman is in the lead.
Mm.
He's a couple points.
He's ahead in points.
Yeah, he's ahead in points. Much like he was in the volleyball game, he's ahead in points versus Maverick. By the way, versus is the word, but all of a sudden people are saying verse.
That's a part of a song.
Poetry.
A verse is a part of a song.
Yes, verse is not verse.
They use it as a verb. They versing. Who are we versing?
Who are we versing? The word is versus.
Right. But adults don't say that.
No,
right? That
sounds
like a kid.
People say it on ESPN. They go, oh, the Mavericks versus the Spurs.
I don't like that.
Ed Daly, are you pretty fired up about your Knicks getting Derrick Rose?
Yeah, they're building the greatest team of 7 years ago I've ever seen.
They're building the 2011 Bulls.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Build around Porzingis.
Okay.
Stop with this nonsense.
Nah, Porzingis. That's my guy. I love that guy.
Porzingis Khan.
KP.
Czar Zinger.
For some reason, they are able to maybe Charlie was able to gain security.
Back to the movie.
Security. I don't know, admission or whatever, and she got the play-by-play of the MiG sighting, and that became the subject of a classroom lecture, and they all went over what Maverick did right, what he did wrong.
Oh, right.
Right?
Oh, hold on.
Is that the scene we're at now?
No,
or?
No, we're Maverick is in a dogfight against Viper.
Oh yes. Shit! We got to go to the Viper scene first.
Wait,
all right, go ahead.
No, hit your thing first. Well,
if Viper's before that, let's do that. But the thing is, like, they're in a classroom, and all of a sudden, we're breaking down Maverick's engagement with the MIG, right?
Yeah,
and she calls him out. She's like, "No, let's take this as a lesson of this is the wrong thing to do. Yeah. The results were fine, but the wrong thing to do." And I remember Mav's classmate. He kind of leans over and he tells Mav in a quiet moment. That's some of the gutsiest things. That's one of the gutsiest things I've ever seen.
But he wasn't there.
Again, it was the theme throughout the movie that I wish they would have done more of. Maverick is incredibly talented, Travis.
Yes.
But he does things that are reckless. He's one of the best pilots we've ever seen.
You say that he's unsafe.
He's got huge balls, but he does things that compromises the mission. I just wish they would drive this theme home more often.
It's weird that they sort of leave that by the wayside when
why would they so vague with his nickname?
Yes. Great point. Also, same with Sundown. Like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah. I like Sundown. He seemed like a good guy.
Agreed. Yes.
All right, go ahead. The Viper scene.
So that actually happened before the motorcycle Porsche chase. We should have hit that though, because that's what led up to the.
So. Oh shit! So we're way beyond that.
Yeah. So then after that, Mav flies against Viper. Also, kind of weird. They get up there and he's like, "Oh shit! There's Viper." Like, you don't know. Like, you're all taken off at the same time.
You would think. Whoa, Viper's here. Whoa.
Yeah. Very, very weird. And again, more flirting with Iceman. More sort of gayness. Another
lecture from Iceman.
Iceman gives another lecture.
Never leave your wingman. This sets up the climactic scene, right? I mean, it's just
well, so no. They hook up and they're back. It's like in between missions, and it's Mav and Charlie and Goose and Meg Ryan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And their kid,
the adorable Meg Ryan.
Yeah, she's
pre-surgeries,
but. In retrospect, you look back, that hair might be period appropriate, but it's a little shocking.
Meg's
hair.
Yeah, but she's adorable still.
She's banging. Like, nobody.
And how about her talking about fucking in front of the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her son is sitting on the piano. It's like, hey, take me to bed or lose me forever. And there's like a 4-year-old like, hey, what are you doing with me?
That's me, honey.
Take me to bed.
Yeah, and I mean, Meg does a couple things that are violations. She sells Mav out. She sells him down the road by talking about all the trim that he gets every night. And I mean, major violation of the code. So much so that Mav says, "Yeah, I guess so." And he goes to the piano. He needs to get out of the situation to go to the piano.
Your big stud.
That's me, honey.
Take me to bed or lose me.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Distract Charlie from the fact that she just learned that Mav is just hitting everything in sight on the road.
Yeah, very, very weird. You don't, when you're in a mixed couple, you don't just start announcing how much pussy your new boyfriend gets.
I just did a little Googling on Meg Ryan there.
Is that when you went 10 minutes without speaking to the microphone?
No, I just it.
Yes,
yeah, really, when I Google, you call on me.
I really feel like we missed some things, like, because she used to be really kind of cute
talk the whole time,
and she's super messed up now. This is a tragedy.
She was so hot.
Not anymore.
I know.
Not anymore.
She's wrecked her face.
Ugh.
I've noticed that. So Travis's role during these shows now is Googling 80s hotties.
Yeah. Well,
what they look like now.
Who should I do next?
Showing the rest of us.
Leah Thompson looked really good, by the way.
Modern day Leah Thompson?
Both.
So they hang out. They have like a, you know, this is, we're being primed for Goose's demise.
Mm.
like, he gets to fuck his
right,
wife.
Right, good family man, cute wife. Yeah.
Which is weird because he's like, he's a good family man, but earlier in the movie, before we knew he was married, he's talking about how all the pussy he likes to get on the road, and he's like, hey, don't leave me hanging on this one. And it's a very, it was almost shocking when we find out that Goose is married.
Mm.
Meanwhile, they're flyboys. That's what they do. But
well, I think the wife's probably comfortable with him being on the road.
They, yeah, she. So they
are, as they say in the industry, at sea.
Goose, and Meg Ryan go to bed, and Mav and
Charlie
bounce out, and they have a weird like makeout on the, you know, they do that kind of thing,
yeah, on the bike.
On the bike.
They do that thing that you do when you have a high school girlfriend and you can't go home.
And you're just trying to make it work.
Yeah, you're like, hey, let's just stop here and lean against the bike and make out. When meanwhile, the
bike's hot, by the way. Yeah, you could burn yourself.
Meanwhile, she's got a place at the beach.
Well,
you have a place too, though.
Yeah, and he's
Goose is
going to
be watching, but still, you can.
Goose is going to be self-punishing himself while watching.
And then the next scene is the big scene, and I would like some analysis on this. They go up. They're in a. It's like a team event,
mm-hmm.
and they're flying side by side with. It's a 2-on-2 dogfight, and they're flying side by side with Ice and, of course, Slider. And Slider is in the way, Ice is in the way, and for some reason, he can't like shoot his gun. It's a very, very convoluted.
I'm too close for missiles. I'm switching to guns.
Yeah, but not even that. He's like, wait 10 seconds. I'll get it. And then he's got to pull out. And he pulls out. And meanwhile, Mav's behind him the whole time. And he's like, I got a shot. I can do this. I can take out Viper. And it's a big deal. I can shoot him down. Viper's the fucking. He leads this. He's in
Holy
charge.
Shit, Viper's here.
Yeah, he's in charge of Top Gun. It's a big deal. And finally, Iceman pulls out, and Mav somehow, in some sort of a gay, convoluted situation, gets caught up in Ice's jet wash,
mm-hmm.
and he gets sent into a flat spin.
Yes.
Got a little close to his rear.
To me, I feel like this is, even though he was later cleared of wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
this is Maverick's fault. Mm. Well, you don't hang up right behind somebody's like, you know, there's jet wash coming out of there. Like, you're not, you should be you're a trained pilot. You should know this stuff, guys.
I think that there's like, I know that they had to kill Goose off somehow, but I feel, looking back on it now, underwhelmed by how they did it. Like, yeah, jet wash and spinning, and then the reason he died was because of the ejection thing.
Well, like, he hit the canopy.
He hit the canopy.
Yeah, he broke his neck.
It just seems like a very...
That's a design flaw. It's Charlie's fault.
The circumstances of his death were just like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It really is. Here's the thing. When gay guys write a movie, they don't really have a good sense. Like, they don't know how volleyball games work. They don't know how... Because when you pull that thing, there's like gunpowder that explodes the canopy away.
And the
from
jet is flying forward, even in a flat spin. Yes. It's projecting forward. The thing's going
that
behind
thing's
it.
Gone.
It's long
not
gone.
Hitting the canopy ever.
Yes, yes. Very, very... And then... They end up in the water. They're in the ocean, and Mav pulls Goose into an embrace.
Their final one.
He holds him, and the Coast Guard comes up to save him. He's like, mm-hmm. "You gotta let him go,
sir."
Yeah, you gotta let him go.
I think that there's like this. A couple things that just would never happen. Tell the me. Canopy killing a pilot. and then them landing in the same vicinity. Like, I don't know if you guys have been.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Is there any way that Maverick lands in the same vicinity in the ocean where he could swim to him and embrace his brother?
They land right next
to each other. We're talking about miles apart.
Is that true?
I mean, I've done some skydiving over Otay Mesa as it would be the San Diego border.
Yeah.
You can't. Well, in a chaos situation, you can't.
Don't you guys all jump out of the plane at the same place?
Yeah, but these are trained skydivers.
And then you guys all land at the same place?
This is a fighter jet. This is covering tens of hundreds of miles
But they shot out of the plane.
Yeah, they hit the eject button.
But
they both went.
No. Yeah, they ejected at the identical place. Like, this is
you can't swim to your partner. We're talking miles between each other.
They left at the same time.
Yeah, just the same as when you skydive, Jason, in Otay Mesa.
I think you're overthinking this. I think this is easy, quite frankly.
Okay.
Goose died.
Yeah, Goose died.
But I think what you're thinking of is this is the setup for Maverick and Ice to finally get together. And that first time, the scene where they're trying to kill Viper together, like the first time many times when you're with a new partner, it's not quite what you thought it would be. It's awkward. It's clumsy. It's not quite. You don't understand each other's rhythms.
Yes.
So it takes a while to warm up. They're getting that first interaction out of the way, and it resulted in Maverick's partner having to be jettisoned.
Yes.
But now it clears the way for Ice.
Yeah.
And Maverick,
but both
to make beautiful music together.
They're both pilots.
Well, they're both pilots, but
they're both type A.
Boats out in the middle of nowhere.
It is very, very clear that there is
Slider's very concerned. Slider sees the writing on the wall. Goose is not an issue because Goose is not of their type.
Yeah.
But you still need to get him out of the way because you need to get somebody else in. It's a plot device.
Can we all agree that Goose is the straight guy in the movie?
How about Skerritt's nice bedside manner when he goes into the bathroom where Maverick's wearing his grippers, the tighty whities?
Yeah,
and he goes, first off, Goose is dead.
Yeah,
and he's like, all right, get back in the air.
Yeah. No, he's like you fly long enough, this happens. He's like, I was flying over Da Nang, and 8 out of 18 of us died. Yeah, but you were in combat. These guys are just whipping around, practicing in the non-existent mountains of Miramar.
I mean, if any of us
should not have died.
If any of us have dealt with death and grief, I think we could all agree that the best thing to do with somebody grieving is say, get over it. Right? You're right. That's good bedside manner.
Universal advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Goose dies. Sadly. I think we can 30
poor,
years.
Poor beyond, little out.
I think 30 years beyond, we can all agree that Mav's recklessness led to Goose's death.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't hold up in a court of law, but we all know.
Yeah. For sure.
That's the military covering their own. They're never going to stick it on one of their guys.
And then
blood on your hands.
That's right.
Mav tries to fly again, and much like Cougar, call back to the beginning of the movie, and much like Chicks, Mav can't engage.
But yet again, they give him Sundown as a Rio.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what Sundown was doing before, but now he's the Rio.
Yeah, but when they go to fight, Sundown's nowhere to be seen.
That's fucked up.
Yeah,
one of the rare times I can defend Maverick was what was with Sundown. I mean, he knows Goose just died.
Yeah,
and he's really up Maverick's ass. Like,
well, back figuratively,
off. We already know Argyle knocked you the fuck out and Die Hard. Like, don't come at me, bro.
Hey, man, we could have had him. We could have had him.
That's actually a really good point by Ed Daly. This Sundown was very, very aggressive. When he should have been like, dude.
Not as aggressive as others.
Your Rio just died.
Sundown should have known his place.
Well, Jason, my God.
No. He's far too aggressive for that scene.
Well, I will say this. This Maverick, he tries to fight Sundown. on the flight deck.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very uncomfortable. And Sundown, he bows down to the Alpha.
He did.
Maverick.
Uncomfortable scene for sure.
Yeah. And then, so then they get the Mav goes to Viper's house, which is weird. I don't
know. Nice house.
I don't know why he would know where that is.
Well, there's a couple things that the scene tells you. It's thank you for coming out here on a Sunday. As if Sunday is some kind of sacred, like, wow.
It's probably the one day they don't fly, Jay.
On a Sunday, thanks for coming out here.
They don't work on Sundays.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And
so wouldn't you be annoyed if somebody, if you're like, hey, this is the one day I don't work, and why are you here?
Yeah, I don't know.
And the wife is like,
know him so well.
Yeah, she's like, hey, Maverick! Hey!
What do you want to drink?
Pete Mitchell!
It's like part of me says that they wrote that scene because she's so concerned that he just lost his partner and she's hurt and she's going to be overcompensatingly friendly. And then another part of me is like, there's a disconnect. How could she possibly know him that well?
Well, also, she's not from a beverage.
Mm.
Oh, no, like no, that. She does. She does. He no, doesn't.
She says, what can I get you to drink?
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty sure that's how you offer a beverage.
You know what, Ed Daly? We don't all have the same
memories. Clean that up in post.
Yeah.
Clean that up in post.
But it was weird that they go out in the yard.
It's like a big lawn on a cliff.
Yeah, directly next to the ocean.
Point Loma.
And that's on a Sunday. Did I mention that?
Yes, on a Sunday.
They should be in church.
And this Viper tells him, hey.
You know people go to church.
I don't.
Still.
You got to get back out there.
And by the way, here's a picture of your dad on my wall.
Yeah.
Duke Mitchell?
At sea for a while
He gives
well.
Him the heads up. And this is kind of weird. Where he's like, yeah, your dad was shot down. But instead of flying back to base, he saved 3 other pilots. How would you even know that?
Yeah.
I mean, the fog of war.
Again.
Good reason for the government to cover that up.
Yeah. It's also like
Pat Tillman.
Because they just had so much good news to spread to the public during the Vietnam War. Like, we better hurry this good story.
Yes.
Skerritt reveals that it's the worst dogfight he's ever been in. Maybe the worst dogfight in the history of combat. And
I'm
Duke
not sure
Mitchell
he's
did all this.
To answer that.
Yeah.
So obviously,
it's not like he fought in World War I or II.
Obviously, the strain that Duke had. I mean, he was very talented, but he was reckless.
Yeah, clearly.
Maybe the best fighter pilot ever, but he was.
But the recklessness caught up with him. Is that the theme?
So again, it's the theme is driven home.
Do you think anyone else in the Navy wanted to have sex with Duke?
Duke Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think Duke gave Viper the code name.
Yeah, clearly.
After seeing his Viper, he said, you need to...
And then it all kind of unwinds after that. They go to graduation, and
which
it's
is
like,
held at a pool by the La Quinta Inn. What was that? There's like a couple folding chairs near a hotel pool, and they're like, yeah. Here's the big ceremony.
Iceman, Slider, Maverick, you'll get your Rio when you get on board.
That was very weird. Like, why couldn't
If you don't get your Rio, call me. I'll fly with you anytime.
Why couldn't that
Meet me below decks.
Why couldn't that have been on base? That was very weird. And
dress whites, too.
And yeah, they wear their dress whites, and Mav shows up. And
late.
He shows up late, but he gives, like, Iceman. He's like, hey.
He finally concedes.
Also... Viper's like, listen, he's like, you got two choices. You can quit or you can graduate tomorrow. And then he shows up late to the graduation.
He's like, right. So what are you saying? And he goes, I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
Are you saying I should quit?
It's a weird scene.
I don't know.
But then he shows up late to the graduation. So had he not shown up, he still would have graduated. Like, there's not the quitting and graduating.
Walking is not your last class.
Yeah, if you don't show up for your graduation ceremony, it doesn't mean you don't graduate. Right. Like, the coursework is done.
I graduated from the Harvard of the West, Long Beach State University. But I didn't do that thing where you put that hat on. What do they call that thing with the card?
Mortarboard.
Mortarboard. I didn't do that with a robe, the gay robe. I didn't do any of that.
Bad boy Brian Beckner.
But I still graduate. I still have the same diploma.
I did. I walked. And I walked. It was a great ceremony. And I remember right after I walked, before we could get too excited, I remember our supervisor saying, "Hey, I hate to break up a party."
Your supervisor?
But I have an emergency.
Viper.
Yeah, right after we graduated. Yeah,
so at the end of the graduation, Viper rolls in and is like, "Listen, sorry. Like, don't enjoy this too much. I know it's animal night down at the office and stuff."
But we actually hired Principal Strickland for 9 days on the
We're going to bring him back. And how about this?
God damn it, Maverick.
There is an emergency in the Indian Ocean. Yes, and instead of sending the very qualified, experienced pilots we have right now, we need to send a bunch of recruits. Yeah, a bunch of recent grads over there right now.
As though that ship is in the Indian Ocean, sans pilots.
Right. By the way, brings me back to my original question. In the Indian Ocean, are we really fighting the Russians over the Indian Ocean? Has anybody looked at a map?
No.
Because
in 1986, America didn't have enemies in the Indian Ocean.
Exactly. At that point,
I don't think we had enemies.
Yes.
No. So the only enemy near the Indian Ocean is China.
Yeah.
And there's a Red Star, and there's MiGs.
Why is Travis, he keeps pushing this agenda that the Chinese were the enemy in 86.
Yes. No, it's not that the Chinese were the enemy.
Travis is from Arcadia.
No, it's because
I'm Asians.
I'm a political science major.
From a zipperhead.
No, we're not going to do that. What I want to know is if we're going to, like, if we were in the North Atlantic, it could be the Russians. If we were in the Alaskan Strait, the Bering Strait, it could be the Russians. The Indian Ocean is India, Pakistan, and China.
Yeah.
All right.
What are we doing there?
Australia.
So can I meet our guy, not Dan, on Twitter? Can I meet the requirement to get him very excited about this podcast?
Oh, yes.
So if China is the enemy in 86, then obviously they're very into the Pacific Rim.
Oh, which
I revealed on a previous podcast.
That's your favorite kind of genre of porn.
It's Asian rim jobs.
Yes.
Porn. There you go, not Dan.
They're like, hey, he hands them their orders like on paper.
It's so top secret.
Here you go. Here you go. Here, Iceman, Slider, you go. Hollywood, Wolfman, you go. And he goes, Maverick, who I didn't know was showing up today.
Yeah.
Who I told to quit yesterday. You're here, and here's your thing. And by the way, you don't have a reel, but if you need one, even though I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
And I'm not trained for that, and I'm 60.
Yeah, and my senses have been dulled for 25 years.
Yeah, and I only...
And I'm Robin Colcord on Cheers.
Oh, that's a different guy.
No, he was Evan Drake, Ed.
Drake.
He was Evan Drake. Yeah. Come on, man. I hold you to a very high standard. You can't. Robin Colcord was Roger Reese. Evan Drake was Tom Skerritt.
Yes. So there you go, and then the movie culminates where they go on their flight. They do. Maverick has to save Iceman again, and they
he puts on the brakes by accelerating.
He hits.
Right? I mean, everything we know of, like, you know, childhood flight simulator things. When you pull down, you're not putting on the brakes. That's accelerating.
Right.
He hits the brakes. He lets the MiG fly right by, as is his wont to do. And thus ends the final mission. They land on the flight deck,
in which
Kazansky comes up to Maverick and says, "You can be my wingman anytime."
Bullshit. You can be mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a fight. Who's going to be the power bottom?
Barry, I feel like that Iceman is the top in that relationship. Would you guys agree? Yeah, of course.
Maverick does. Maverick wants to put on a show for everyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, if you think about the last scene, which is, you know, the big action scene of the movie, Maverick gets cold feet. Like, there's a part there where he asks for Goose advisement, just like Luke asked for...
Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, Luke asked for Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
and, that's, you know, a great point. In the X-Wing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want him as my wingman. He was hesitant at best.
Which is weird, because he's like, talk to me, Goose, and Goose would be like, we got like half a tank. we're good. You know, yeah, like, no big deal.
Goose was probably like, no, it's, I don't, yeah. I don't have that loving feeling.
Yeah, he's like, talk to me, that. Goose, and he's like, and Goose is like, well, just ask Merlin. Like, ask Merlin to look around the back for the jets, because that's what we do.
But that show. Was the essential, like, Val Kilmer expressing that to Mav was, in the movie, in the writer's viewpoint, like, that was the ultimate acceptance. Like,
right.
He has,
right.
He has become what you're supposed to be as a fighter right. pilot.
Okay.
And why did Mav have Goose's dog tags? Don't you think that would be kind of the thing his son should have?
Well, yes. That was weird.
And because, then he threw him in the ocean.
Yeah, that was
weird. Threw him in the ocean. Like, he's got a four-year-old son. That's all he's got of his dad.
Well, that's a good point.
Mav's tossing it in the ocean because he now found love with Iceman.
Because he goes to Goose's wife and kid, and they're in a place with like lined up recliners. Like,
yeah, it was like a
theater. Yeah. What was that?
It was like the Korean spa go to. It was very weird.
Bunch of recliners,
and
she has to console him.
Yeah, and then they have like a full meltdown right there in front of the kid. And this is before kids had earphones like we put on them these days. It was very, and the kid was just cool. He was just like, "What? I'm just playing Legos here. Like, what? My dad's dead." Don't know. And then like before that, Mav's like in Goose's bedroom and he's like lining up his sunglasses and he's like wrapping everything up. Hey, that's not your shit.
It's the kids' stuff.
And why is the sunglasses like such an item, such a personal item? Like, I have 7 pairs of sunglasses.
It's a metaphor. Like, you know, it's, they're concealing their true,
like,
feelings.
If I died right now, no one would be like, where's Brian's sunglasses? It's just a weird thing.
Well, if you were a fighter pilot,
yeah,
and it was about,
what if I was a Rio?
Concealing your deal.
Yes.
And the eyes are the window to the soul, and this was what concealed your true self.
You hide it
and
all.
You wanted to think of your dad in a certain way, yeah. Not in the way that you discovered that he's really about.
Who got his terrible shirt with the ripped off sleeves?
Yes.
Right.
He didn't have the body to compete in that game.
The game was by far, it was an athletic mismatch, and they did it wrong.
Yes, really. Well,
bothers me.
Slider was the athlete of the game.
Yes.
Judging by his
big
flex Slider, to the crowd.
He spent yes. On the cast, no one spent more time in the gym on isolation curls than Slider.
Slider was yoked. Slider also did dumbbell bench quite a bit.
Can we get back to the throw?
Yeah, let's.
The throw. Let's spend a couple minutes on the throw. They said to Tom Cruise, you need to toss the dog tags off of the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Symbolic moment. This is an emotional moment.
Would you think you'd be allowed to walk out to the edge?
I think that would be unsafe. You need a life jacket at least.
Yes, that is not. It doesn't seem like the safest thing.
I'd like
thing.
To be tethered if I got too close.
Yeah. Indeed.
I'm much more concerned about the fact that he had many months to train for this, and the director had many months to prepare him for this. How in the signature moment to like bring everything together and, you know, reach closure with Goose and with his career by throwing tags, do you throw like a 9-year-old girl?
Yeah, he really.
You're so glib, Jason. You're gonna throw. You're gonna talk about my throwing. You're so glib.
Seriously, I mean, nobody. They couldn't bring in.
Well, maybe Tim Robbins taught him how to throw.
Merlin,
because Tim Robbins couldn't throw either.
Who's the Padre who killed himself? They can bring in Eric Schau and tell how to throw some dog tags off.
Did Eric Schau kill himself?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He took his own life.
He sat on the mound when Pete Rose got
He was also a member of the John Birch Society, which was basically neo-Nazis before neo-Nazis.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, and my Texas listeners are like that.
And a great mustache.
Yeah.
But okay. They couldn't bring in an advisor to teach him how to throw something?
Yes, interesting. Okay. We can go. Let's wrap this up. If there's anything anyone wants to add, Ed Daly, I'm guessing your answer is no.
I like how in the last scene, Tom Cruise, they like when she plays the love and feeling again, and Tom Cruise is like 4 inches taller. Like the last scene, they're like, "All right, she's gonna show up at the doorway, and Tom, you're gonna be standing on 4 phone books." And she's going to walk up to you. It's really obvious how he grew in that last
season. Oh, I'm going to have to go and watch that. I'm going to have to go and rewatch that because I didn't know. Because he's very much – this is early Tom Cruise, and he's very much shorter than everyone else. And yes. You don't see that in movies anymore.
Not very
it's
often.
Very shocking mm-hmm. how much shorter he is than everyone else in this movie. Travis Rogers, do you have anything to add?
My only last thought is that we have Meg Ryan, we have Charlie, and we have a very brief appearance by Mrs. Viper.
Yeah.
Was there another woman with a speaking part in this movie?
Interesting.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think there was. The movie's a couple hours, and we have three female, and Charlie has a couple.
It's 1 hour, 49 minutes.
And then you've got Mrs. Viper that's got a, can I get you something to drink? And that's about it.
That is it.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm racking my brain. Very, very interesting point.
Maybe a rando at Animal Night, but I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, well, but they didn't talk.
Right.
They were there. Jason Stewart.
There weren't even women in the ladies' room.
No. Very weird. Yeah. He just cruised right in there like no big deal and was like gauging the counter's weight. Meanwhile, he weighs like 119 pounds, so I don't think he really adds that much. Jason Stewart, your thoughts.
I've seen the movie, I don't know, dozens if not hundreds of times. When I watched it back this week, just to kind of reestablish things, re-familiarize myself. Every scene Val Kilmer's in, you need to watch. I encourage our listeners to watch.
Especially the chomp. When he chomps at him, that's
weird. He steals every scene. Every line is like he's going. He basically told himself before that movie, I'm going to make a name for myself.
It's true.
And he delivers everything so deliberately and so passionately. Please watch every scene with Val Kilmer in it. It's one of the best movies of all time for many reasons. It's easy to make fun of, but at the same time, it was at the time in 1986 a kick-ass fucking movie.
I mean,
that every single guy wanted to be like, right?
It was weird that everyone was allowed in the Navy. You were allowed to grow your hair. 9 inches into the air
again,
and bleach the whole top of it.
Well, the tip was lighter colored than the rest.
Yes, like you're frost that. Yes, Jay.
I think there was a band that had a group had a song called "In the Navy."
Yeah, yes, Eva et Niage. That one too.
What was that? Travis, explain yourself.
Is
that that's a Simpsons reference?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, guys. Excellent job, everyone. Ed Daly, fantastic work as always. Jason Stewart, well done.
Loved it.
Travis Rogers. Follow all these guys on Twitter at Easy Ed Daly, at Jason Stewart, at Travis Rogers.
Spend a little time on Google with Leah Thompson and spend less time with Meg Ryan. Just saying.
Meg Ryan.
Even less time with present day Kelly McGillis.
No one's looking at that.
Oh, wow.
I remember when Meg Ryan showed her titty in the Doors.
That's right. Yes.
That was such a big moment.
That is right.
Yeah.
Well, also with Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
Playing Jim Morrison.
Kelly McGillis.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
And she was giving oral during one of those sessions. What was the song she was giving oral for? Remember?
The End?
She lives on Love Street, lingers long on Love Street. That one?
Maybe. I don't think it was.
I don't know. Guys, I really appreciate everybody tuning in. This has been a two-part episode. This has been an especially important episode to the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. For Ed Daly, for Jason Stewart, for Travis Rogers, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
I feel the need for speed.